Hello and welcome back to the Labor Podcast. We're already in episode 3, and more so than ever, we are so back.
Why would you say that we're so back more than ever?
Well, it's complicated because you start this episode so back, and then you end kind of the opposite of back, but then I'm back, but then I'm not back. And so in that way, you are kind of back.
What?
So I think it would be accurate to say that you're so back.
Okay, I don't follow, but as long as you agree with me.
Are you feeling like you're so back because you have so many coins?
Yeah.
Despite the fact that you got caught.
Well, particularly at the start of the episode, we are so back. That's what I'm referring to.
Yeah, at the start of the episode, but also kind of at the end of the episode, you're so back, is what I'm saying.
Sure, okay. So it's like a U-curve of backness?
Yeah, it's like sort of at the crescendo of the episode, you are the least back because you've been caught, but then at the very end of the episode, in a way, you're kind of back again because I've screwed up, is what I'm saying.
Oh, okay. Anyways, so, okay. Here's what I wanted to ask. Is there any higher level of theoretical income that could have happened in that amount of time in this game?
I don't think so. Almost certainly not.
I would have to look at the cards, but yeah, I think that those were like...
There actually might be one other curse that's worth more.
Maybe.
What were the value of those curses? Was it 2,000 and then 1,500 or...
It was 2,000 and then 900.
Well, I'm particularly referring to the first because that is the single highest value.
No, that is the single most valuable thing in the deck by far. By far.
Yeah.
I think the next... most valuable thing is 17. There's one other curse that's 1750, which is you can only take trains scheduled at odd numbered times.
Yeah, but particularly with the double up and then the highest value card.
Yeah, that is the highest value card.
Yeah, and we scripted it this way, of course.
Right.
Because we thought that would be entertaining. Much like how we scripted y'all pulling the one card you needed in New Zealand.
Of course.
But yeah, that was a nice moment. I feel like I earned that. After years of Deutsche Bahn luck and stuff like that.
Your luck did finally come in.
Yeah, and followed up right again by great second card pull. Look, sometimes you get lucky in this game. Sometimes you strategize for luck. Basically what I'm saying is I still feel like I earned this. I don't have a good case for why. But anyway, I'd love to hear in more detail how y'all felt when you saw that.
I do think it's worth saying we had a lovely night in Vicenza.
Oh, we did. Yeah.
We were well rested.
Oh, was this when Adam forced you to have like a 5-course meal?
He didn't force
No, me. I didn't, Sam. I brought up that we could, and we didn't even have a 5-course meal.
He coaxed me into going to a fancy restaurant, which was good. And Italian towns are really weird because like Vicenza is like, it doesn't scream nice fancy town. Certainly. But this one restaurant was so nice.
Look, I would like to clarify a few things. One, we did not have the 5-course meal. We went to a restaurant that was relatively nice, largely because it was the closest restaurant to where we were staying. And there was a 5-course meal on the menu. And I brought up that we could do it. And I was interested in it. But ultimately, we decided against it.
Yes, I did manage to talk you out of that.
You did not even talk me out of it.
I will say that actually the closest restaurant to our hotel was a place called Chicken King.
Oh, sure.
And we did not go to Chicken King.
We did not go to Chicken King.
I've never even considered having a sit-down meal in, especially a tag overnight. These are the shortest overnights we ever have. The idea has never even crossed my mind.
I actually don't regret doing this because we, for whatever reason, were like the only people there because I guess it was like not that touristy at all. And so they sat us like at like the chef's table.
Yeah, it was awesome. We could see into the kitchen.
That does sound cool.
It was cool.
Mm-hmm. It was great.
Look, it sounds like a great meal. However, in my mind, just like my mentality is like, I need sleep. And you know, we have other days in Italy. We have the prep and the follow-on days for nice fancy meals. But anyways, when Ben mentioned that, I thought that was wild. Different strokes for different folks or whatever, you know?
I'm always saying that.
Anyways, what did I do for dinner?
I found it. It's called Capri Restaurant and Lounge.
big recommend from us.
I think for dinner this night, I had bought like 3 sandwiches at a train station a couple hours back that evening because I had noticed that there were no takeaway places in Bassano del Grappa on Google Maps. And so I just ate like 3 sandwiches and then therefore went straight to bed minutes after the rest period started.
Oh, so look, you did have a multi-course meal, Sam. You had 3 sandwiches.
Yeah, you got me.
That's 3 courses.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so I don't feel like we got enough detail about the emotional impact.
Okay, yeah, we get the info, okay? We get the info right as we're getting on our train. And we do find it very shocking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say main emotion, sort of shock. Like,
yeah,
shock and then almost immediately annoyance.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, the detail that, of course, you didn't have at the time was the fact that I was like basically at 0 minutes before.
Sure, sure. Yeah. I mean, I would say that like we did pretty quickly figure out what had happened. Like, I think we even have a clip in the episode where we go like, oh, I bet what happened is he thought he was going to get caught. I bet he used the double up and he probably pulled a good curse. Like,
which last episode you were making this whole big case about how the whole idea of getting out of in advance is a great strategy, except for that it allows for exactly this to happen.
Except for what?
Except for the fact that it leads to the possibility of exactly this happening.
Sorry, that what does? I'm genuinely not following what you're saying.
Last episode, you had this whole big case about how you were totally right to go way around and everything.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I still stand by that. The reason that we decided to go around was the whole thing of that we thought you would have a different route. Like,
sure. But now in retrospect, I think, again, the most dangerous thing in jet lag tag is someone who thinks they're about to get caught.
I guess that is true.
Time and time again.
I guess that is true.
Particularly for Ben last season.
Oh, I guess you mean with this decision that we made this morning of like going around versus going straight after you. Yeah, like.
Right.
Yeah, effectively, yeah. However, of course, jumping ahead slightly in retrospect, I kind of wish you had caught me earlier, but.
There is something kind of beautifully ironic about the fact that oftentimes in tag, giving up is the thing that saves you.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what broader life conclusion to make about that.
Yeah, what do you learn from that? What lesson is that?
Just give up.
Yeah, maybe that's a bad lesson. Maybe we shouldn't be saying that, but it's true in this game.
Yeah.
Just take wild risks, wild irrational risks. Anyway, do we want to give BTS about the challenge we cut? Or is that too manipulative?
Sure, we can give BTS. Yeah, I think that's acceptable.
Okay. I think it's fair.
Sam did one more challenge in here that we didn't show.
Yeah.
Sam did another challenge. We cut it out.
Because it was just entirely inconsequential.
Yeah.
Because I pulled the card that we had, which I really liked as a card. It was change your elevation, basically. And the amount of earnings you got would be equal to the difference in your elevation between when you pulled the card and when you declared yourself done.
And it was measured in meters?
I think it was feet.
Was it?
Yeah. We did have a cap. I think we capped this at like 4,000.
3,000. Yeah.
But the reason we like this, I mean, this is a great example of like, we designed the deck to incentivize slightly certain things. And in this season, we wanted to incentivize people going into the mountains because the mountains are pretty and we like the mountains.
And you were about to go into the mountains.
Yeah. But the truth is that the elevation distance between here and like Trento was pretty inconsequential. Mm-hmm. Despite the fact that you go physically through the mountains, you don't seem to gain a lot of elevation on this route because you just stay in the valleys.
Right.
So there would have been some opportunity to get like a couple hundred, but certainly not in the thousands like you could in areas of Switzerland. So how I did this was I stepped down the ledge right behind me to change my distance by like 5 feet, at least on the iPhone, and then declared myself done. And therefore, it was entirely inconsequential. And we just decided to cut it because it was already a long sequence of challenges.
Also, everyone would get mad at you for that one.
Everyone would get mad at you.
I don't get why.
Because it's... Do you really not get why?
It's a fair way to end the challenge.
No. We're not saying you cheated. We're just saying it's lame.
We're not saying that you cheated. We're just saying that people would be like, oh, that's lame.
Well, I had no good way of completing it.
Yeah.
Unless you had taken it up into Trento.
Well, again, even there, like, there's no strategic incentive to doing that because I would have spent hours to gain a couple hundred coins.
Yeah, I mean, the real reason that we cut it was that you were just standing in that little field for so long.
Yeah.
And we were just like, we got to get him out of this little field because it's going to drag so much if we keep you there. So
got to get him to an old bridge.
Okay, the elevation difference, 200 feet.
Okay, yeah, that is pretty lame.
Between Trento and Bassano.
All right.
So it's possible that some spot in between might have been more, because I think you do descend.
Yeah, I bet it would have.
But anyway, I get why, as watching a piece of entertainment, you might be disappointed that the most entertaining thing doesn't happen. However, you know what? This is a sport, and you don't get mad that your favorite soccer team doesn't have a crazy nail biter finish every single time. Pro sports night is not always the most entertaining, but it's authentic.
It's true.
That's my treatise. Anyway, so yeah, pull the old thing. Yeah, this episode has like maybe the highest density of like how much we show to how long things took, because like half of this episode is like
a 30-minute sequence of you.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah.
But a lot happens. Big moment. So hold the old thing. And luckily I had just researched the town a little bit in advance and I'd stayed overnight. So I knew that like, it seemed like the reason that people came to this town were to look at this good old bridge. And it was a great bridge. So I head there. But in retrospect, I even made a point, which is annoying, is like I made the point to camera that like, oh, it's a wooden bridge. So it can't be that old.
You did. Yeah.
So like I understood the concept of wooden bridges are more fragile and therefore probably not that old. But the truth is that given the rules of the challenge, I never with the bridge could have earned anything.
No.
Because the rules of the challenge was that you could not do this for something that was built in
the 20th or 21st century. Yeah.
Yeah. And the most recent iteration was built in like 1948, yeah. I want to say. So the truth is like, I should have just picked something else. And I probably could have pretty easily just done this with an old cathedral or just any old building. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to entertain the audience with the most scenic thing in the town.
No, you were being very good to the audience and it bit you.
It's a cool bridge. I wonder if our ruling is going to be the subject of any controversy. I think that we were right to say that that whole structure was...
Yeah, it couldn't have counted. It definitely could not have counted.
I'm going to pledge at this point to never entertain the audience again.
They're going to love that. They're going to love that pledge.
Yeah.
Look what it gets me.
Sure.
Look, I'll just say, read the Wikipedia page for this bridge. I think if you do, you will arrive at the same ruling as we do.
With the way that we phrase the challenge,
yeah,
there's no way that this would be in fair game.
There's no way.
Maybe we should have phrased the challenge differently, but...
You have one guess to accurately predict what century it was built in. That bridge was not built in the 16th century. Like,
and it's annoying because like the whole rest of that downtown, it was all like 16th century, 17th century. I could have had a good guess of just any building and gotten it. But anyway.
Mm-hmm. Well, it is especially frustrating for you. It's like you got it right. Like what you were trying to do, you did correctly, which is you successfully guessed that the original bridge had been built in the 16th century.
Because like all of these European towns, the downtowns, like the historic downtowns, they're all like 15th, 16th century with some exception. But like I've lived in Europe, I've spent time there and I know that like it's always like 1500s, 1600s. Okay, now I have to recognize that 15th, 16th century is not 1500s, 1600s. I know things. Anyways, okay, now so much to discuss this episode. And is there anything y'all want to mention? I mean, nothing much happens very quickly on your side.
You know, we are frustrated.
We're starting to get to the point where we're not sure what to do. I think we're not quite yet there.
Yeah.
But once we get to Verona, I think at that point we're like, we do not really know what's going on.
I mean, I think that the episode lays it out well with the maps, I think. But like, we end up in an interesting issue of we are ahead of you and we have routes to cut you off in either direction that you might go, right? So you are like, oh, what a very strong position, right? You know, strong position to be in. But of course, the problem is that were we to go after you, on either of these directions, you could just go the other direction and get away from us. So we are now stuck just giving you time to do challenges until you move.
Yeah.
Well, it was especially frustrating because it's like we had assumed with such confidence that you were going to get on the train to Trento in the morning that like we chose not to take a train that would have had us already catching you.
Yeah, we could have been in Trento. We could have been where you were. We could have been in freaking Bassano del Grappa and tagged you by then.
And we chose not to.
You know, this is another good example of like none of us seem to ever really think to buy the tracker as the runner.
Yeah, I know.
And like, there are so many instances where all of us really could have gained a lot of useful info, but for some reason, just none of us really think of it.
It's really frustrating to watch happen because like, we intentionally made the tracker much cheaper this season, 250 coins.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like we just do this thing where we just, I mean, maybe I'm only speaking for myself, but I feel like where we constantly assume that the chasers have done the best thing.
Right.
And so we're like, well, why even bother buying the tracker? I know where they are. It's here, the best place they could have gone. But it's like so many things could go wrong that are unpredictable that like just finding out where they are would often be helpful. But I feel like, yeah, at least so far, you just don't see us do it.
Because obviously, you know, had I bought the tracker, that would have told me,
stay
basically,
there.
Don't take this train.
Yeah, stay there.
Yeah, and just do more challenges or take some other train. But I, honestly, just never even crossed my mind. And up until this point, we have, I believe, never seen the tracker purchased in tag.
Nope.
And yet we keep putting it on. But what I will say is, like, the thought of taking the train to Trento, for all the reasons that I've already articulated, like, it was never even within the realm of consideration for me until I got to this point, because in my mind, the mind that forgot that I could just buy a tracker and confirm this, the fact that y'all were not there sort of meant to me that y'all had done something weird, likely to the south of me.
Mm.
Like, I was not necessarily expecting that. It probably would have made sense, but like, I was not necessarily expecting that y'all were where you were. And also, you know, part of me was just like, I've been here for so long, therefore they must be getting here soon, therefore I need to get out, which was not really the case, obviously. But it's like, figured I might as well get out. But the truth is, like, I really shouldn't have taken that train in any world. It, like, felt like the right thing to do, and therefore I did it, even if it was not. Because it was like, oh, this goes in the direction I need. It's right here. It's right now. I can get on it. And it truly was a split second decision, but I was really torn up about it because like, I sort of recognize what I'm saying now. It's like, yeah, I'm going to probably burn a lot of budget to marginally make progress and then just get caught. Cause I really did not think that there was any shot of me doing a successful run with no phone and with the positioning that I was in. So the most strategically advantageous thing would have just been for me to stay still, I think, and just done more challenges.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, well, this sort of shows also how it's very easy in this game to sort of cycle between two mindsets. One mindset being like, it's so over and I fully give up. And the other mindset being, I need to go as fast as possible directly towards my zone. And like, I think that it is very hard to like get yourself in a median mind space of like, I need to really like think this through very carefully. But you went. You went to Trento.
Yeah. Part of it, to be honest, was that it looked like a really scenic train. And I wanted to get into the Alps.
It was a scenic train.
Well, the only thing that we correctly predicted about your intentions was that we knew you really wanted to go into the Alps.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, even beyond just my run, like I wanted to position ourselves in the Alps so that maybe we would all just get out of, like, at this point, from my point of view, it's like, oh, we'd spent so much time in a relatively similar bit of Italy. In actuality, it was just like a day, but we really explored this region of Italy. I wanted to get out of it just personally. But yeah, so it was a very scenic train. Unfortunately, it was really hard to capture some of the scenery because it was kind of dark and rainy outside and very bright in the train. and that doesn't make for good filming conditions out the window. But it was very scenic. Love that train ride.
We have some nice footage of the train.
Yeah, we got some shots. We got a couple of shots.
Yeah, there were some. It was just like there was certainly more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we got some shots. Our train to Trento was also quite pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, it was lovely. Yeah,
from Verona.
Yeah, nice area. But yeah, so obviously then I get to Trento. Trento's very pretty and obviously quite quickly get nabbed. Although I almost got away with it. Adam was looking the wrong way.
I was looking the wrong way. A great Ben move popping in there. I mean, I guess it's just the case that at that point, Sam, it's not that like you wanted to get caught, but it's like, given that you were almost certainly not going to make it out of that station, like you could have maybe, sorry, this is a little off topic, but like, given that you are now better than us at running and endurance running, if you had gotten ahead of us, you could have just like jogged around the town of Trento probably for quite a while until we managed to catch up to you.
Mm-hmm.
But at that point, I think that wouldn't have been in your interest because it would have just extended how long it took to catch you, and then it would reduce your odds of a second run. So I think it was in your interest once you knew we were there to allow yourself to get caught.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was, as you saw, I didn't, you know, try to evade Ben or anything.
No, you did not.
And that was another reason why I was saying it was probably in my advantage to having just stayed in Bassano, because, you know, the other reason being I likely would have been caught earlier and all that. But yeah, and I likely would not have put myself in a location that at least theoretically could give the next runner a big advantage.
Ben.
Okay. Look, let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about the elephant in the room. So what's interesting about this...
I can't believe it took us 27 minutes into the episode to finally talk about this.
Here's the thing with this train. Actually, I don't know if Sam knew that this train existed, but...
No, I didn't really put any...
Adam and I did.
Yeah.
Because, again, we were planning on catching you in Trento from all the way till the night before. And so, like, we had both looked into, well, what train am I probably going to take out of there? And we had both sort of independently reached the conclusion of, like, oh, man, there is this train that is so good. To the point where that night we had had a conversation, like, as producers, where we were like, this is kind of scary. Like, this train is so good that, like, it could be a problem. I actually think, in retrospect, that it probably wasn't that good that it was worth worrying about, but it was a very, very, very good train.
I completely fulfilled the conditions of the card, except for slack. But of course, in my defense, I probably should have researched that. However, at the time at which I knew I was going to Trento, I couldn't use my phone.
Yeah.
I couldn't research that. And therefore, I had no idea of the train options out of Trento. But yeah, so the exact deal was that it was a train to...
Verona.
But it was just that it opened up a 2-hour gap.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was basically like, it was like a nonstop low speed train to Verona. Like, this is something that we also don't really talk about that much, certainly in the episodes. But like, there are things that are classified as low speed trains that are much faster than other low speed trains. And that, like, if you can identify those and get on them, you've just used your coins more efficiently. And this was a great example of a train that was, like, fast and didn't really stop and went exactly in the way that I was going, right when I wanted to, and then put a huge gap where if you guys wanted to go directly to Verona, you couldn't have gotten there for hours afterwards, which was honestly quite odd in that area. And so it was, in so many ways, a perfect train. I think that, like, if I had gotten on that train, you could have still jumped me. Like, you wouldn't have had to wait 2 hours to, like, go down to somewhere like, you know, Milan or Bologna or something like that. But that is, of course, ceding a lot of ground and would have made me quite happy. But, so here's the other thing, is that train was scheduled to leave, like, right after we caught you. So I was like rushing to catch it. And then lo and behold, it had a 5-minute delay on it. And so I was like, great. And so I went to the platform and I was like, I don't know why I didn't just get on the train.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. Like, the train, whether it was delayed or not, it was there.
Yeah, I got onto the platform. I was on the platform for maybe 45 seconds. I put my backpack down to, like, put my stuff away before I got on the train. Like, I had just received all the cards and, like, I had my tripod and stuff, and I was, like, just, like, putting it in my backpack. And in that time, the train just left. It left exactly on time, which I don't think you should be allowed to do if you say that the train is delayed.
The thing that we learned this season, which, you know, as always, we kind of learn the intricacies of each country's rail network, is that seemingly in Italy, their delay indications are very imprecise, and they seem to, at best, round them to 5 minutes. So my guess would be that the train, like, arrived slightly late and therefore was automatically indicated as the minimum delay that they will show, which is 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Which is basically to say, like, yeah, it's a little delayed.
I would like to say that I feel like you guys both, and I think there's some fairness to it, make fun of me sometimes for always being really nervous about getting on trains, like, once they pull into a station, where, like, you guys will want to be like, we can walk on the outside platform and then, you know, get in on the car that actually is the one that we need to get in on or whatever. And I do think that you are typically right about this, that, like, I am overly nervous about, like, when a train pulls into the station, I'm, like, so afraid that it will leave without me that I, like, always get on it. I'm the same way with, like, the subways in New York. But I feel like it's moments like this that prove that there is something to my paranoia.
Look, I got burned. I got burned bad. From now on, when I'm playing Tag Man, if the train is there, I am on the train.
It's good to learn lessons.
It was a lesson learned. But I was so burned by this. Because the fact of the matter is that, like, my other options, not good.
No.
You know, it's not like there was another good train for me.
Yeah, the frequencies of trains out of Trento were pretty low. And, like, it really only connected to Line North, Line South, and the line sort of southeast to Bassano.
Yeah.
So not many different lines out of there and not many frequencies on those lines, despite being, like, a relatively larger place.
Well, it's sort of the great irony is it's like, yeah, there weren't any other good trains south after that train. That was what made the train so good for you.
Right.
Was that there weren't any other good trains after it. Like.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and there was a period there where in a panic, I had, like, misread the departure board. And I thought that there were actually no trains before you guys were released. And so I was like, you see me in a real despair. Part of that is there's a period where I'm like, I'm getting caught at this station.
Well, can we reveal? I think this is some classic BTS that we can say.
Yeah. No, I came up to you guys. I came up to you guys and I was like, I think that I am getting caught here. Like, I think there are no trains. Yeah.
You walked up to us. We edit around this because it's ultimately just confusing, I think, in the episode. But when you see Ben start walking and we go, oh, is that Ben? And then you see him get on the train in the episode. What actually happened is that Ben walked up to us. And he said, all right, well, I got to concede this one. And we went, what? And you went, well, you're going to be out of your freeze period at whatever time it was. Because you had thought that the freeze period was 30 minutes, not 45 minutes.
Oh, maybe that's what I'd gotten wrong.
Which is an easy mistake to make because the veto period is 30 minutes. So, like, it can be easy to get it mixed up in your head. It's like the veto period's 30 minutes, but the chaser period is 45.
Yeah. Again, worth reinforcing the mental capacities when we're in the midst of the game.
Yeah.
They are low.
And so we were like, wait, no, what are you talking about? No, it isn't. And then you were like, oh, yeah. Oh, right. Okay. And then you were like, all right, it's all good. And then you got on that train and then you left, which is part of why when you see Sam's face when you get on the train, that's why he's so confused.
You know, my hope was at least, I explained this, but my hope was at least that it would throw you for a little loop, maybe.
Sure. Well, I just assumed that you knew about the secret maglev that left from Bassano straight to Capri or something.
Yeah.
Right?
That would be nice. That would have been nice. But no. Instead, I am on the very, very slow and very expensive train to Bassano del Grappa, which is a place that I don't even really want to be going.
Yep. And we run it back.
Yep.
Yeah. I will say one other moment in the episode that I want to point out that I really love is you, Sam, being like, well, Ben has told me he has a really specific strategy for how he's going to win the season.
Oh, yeah.
And then we cut to, which this was a thing where I was sad that we cut this out of the original episode one cut. It was originally in there, but I ultimately like it better here. The reveal that as you guys were waiting around, one of the things that happened was Ben writing down on a piece of paper, IDK, I'm just trying to freak him out. Because I remember, and Sam, I mean, you tell me if I'm wrong, you very much believed Ben that he did have a strategy.
Look, he's the reigning tag champion. I assume he has this game on lock.
It's true.
I always believe in Ben's capabilities. I think, if anything, it's Adam who has underestimated in the past. I'm a big believer in Ben's strategies.
Well, I feel like this was a difficult situation where, like, we were both, and I especially, having learned my lesson, right, from last season, we were really trying to not underestimate Ben. Because as we say in the episode, like, we have learned now not to do that.
Well, I feel like more than anything, we were trying to make sure not to underestimate Ben on camera.
Well, yeah, sure, to an extent. Because you look so stupid if Ben's doing something really smart.
Yeah.
Because also, if you had been doing something really smart, you would have been being like, they're probably freaking out right now, wondering why I didn't get on the train to Verona. And they're idiots, because this is my plan.
Look, it's evident, I will admit, at this point, that I'm sort of not performing at peak performance at this point in the game.
Mm-hmm. You got the yips, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it is fair to put me in poor estimation at this point in terms of what I am doing.
I do think that it's worth saying that, like, you know, when you do tag three, you start to worry, will there still be new things that happen? Or have we run out of all of the different novel situations that can occur? And it's comforting to see that, no, actually, new things can happen, because never on Jetlag the Game has this happened to anyone before.
That is true. This is sort of a new level of fuck up never before seen. So we are keeping it fresh here in season 11, as always.
But it's worth remembering the start of Ben's winning run last time was particularly Adam basically feeling really bad for Ben.
Right. Well, because there was a point, like, I think, like, you know, 45 minutes or an hour into your run, we were like 10 minutes behind you or something.
Mm-hmm.
I always believed in him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, you never know how these things are going to go. And it's also important for the audience to keep in mind that, like, despite the fact that we are as many episodes in as we are, we're still in the morning of day two.
Yeah.
There are basically two full days of gameplay left.
That's true. That's true.
It's a long season.
Well, and also, I mean, for what it's worth, you still have an hour lead. You know what I mean? Like, you end up, because you go to Bassano, with the standard lead that most people start with, which is that you'll be ahead by an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
No, it really does go from just very advantageous to normal.
Yeah, normal.
Certainly not behind.
Yeah, that's the funny thing. Is it's like, it's not like you actually end up in a crazy bad position. It's just that you could have been in an amazing position.
Yeah.
I will say my last thing on the missing of the train that I find so funny is that, as we pointed out, right, this has never happened before. But then also, like, not only has this never happened before, but then when it did happen, it was in an instance like this where the train was, like, extremely unusually advantageous to you. You know what I mean?
I know. For all the times to miss a train, this is the worst time. Because I would actually argue that, like, as far as starts of runs go, this mm-hmm. is, like, on par or possibly even better than the start of your first run.
Yeah, in Tag 2.
In Tag 2, which had a sort of similar
yeah.
gap.
Yes.
And we saw how that went. You basically almost won. immediately.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
Well, to see how Ben manages to turn this into a winning run, or maybe not, I assume not. Or sorry, I assume so. Obviously, Ben will swiftly be so back, right?
That's correct.
It might be so over, but being so over is always what comes before so back. Words.
Nailed it.
Yeah, thank you. Next week. Come back next week.
I agree.
Yep. Yep. We'll see you next time.
Get spicy. The season starts to get spicy. That's what I'll say.
Things are going to get spicy.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.